Genesis chapter 3. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, the third chapter and verse 16 is where we've come to in our study. And let's read it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The word of Christ in us. That's what I want us to think about tonight, the word of Christ in us. We're told that Christ is in us, and now he tells us you to let the word dwell in us. Last week, we looked at verse 15 concerning the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. And I think all of these verses fit together. Verse 16 fits perfectly with verse 16. These two verses go hand in hand. They fit so well together. Because verse 16 tells us that this peace that we looked at last week is a well-established peace. He says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And then he turns right around and says, let the word of Christ dwell in your heart. And it tells us that this peace of God that's in our heart is established by the word of Christ. And why is that important? Well, the world wants peace, doesn't it? The world says peace, peace. But it doesn't have any grounds, any true grounds for lasting peace. Most of the peace that the world is talking about is a filter. It's just a filter that they have in their mind. And it's usually based upon everything around them is going good and they're healthy. And it's well with the family. I would imagine that there's a certain aspect of the peace of God that's associated with these things. It is a feeling, isn't it? The peace of God is not absent from a feeling. It deals with our feeling, deals with our emotion. The peace of God keeps our minds, and therefore the emotions that's in our mind. But you know, the peace of God, it's more than just feelings. And it's certainly not based upon the circumstances we find ourselves in being good. Sometimes, as a matter of fact, the peace of God is discovered and it's manifested in our hearts when we're feeling bad. Sometimes that's the way we perceive this peace. We're not feeling well. Things aren't going well. And things seem to be out of our control. And here's where we discover this peace of God that rules in our heart. Have you ever noticed that? I've noticed in the last couple of years especially, sometimes I've thought to myself, I ought to be in turmoil in my mind. I mean, I should be so afflicted, I should be so worried and so concerned, but I'm not. And sometimes it concerns me. Should I be? And if it was the world, and if I was still in the world and dead in my sins, I could see every reason for not having any tranquility, any rest, any peace in my mind. But this is the one aspect of God's peace that we looked at last week, that it rules. It rules in our hearts and in our minds. That means it's a sovereign. That means it reigns there. Brother Larry called me last Saturday night and he said, I just called to make sure you guys were all right. And I said, well, sure, why shouldn't we be? And he said, I didn't know if you'd been watching the weather, but there's an awful storm burning down on you fellas. And I went out on the back porch while I was on the phone with Larry. I mean, it was amazing, the storm that was outside my house. I mean, the sky was lit up and you couldn't see very far in front of you. And the rain was sideways. And I went back in the house and watched out the window watched out the door, and I wasn't a bit concerned about the storm. It didn't bother me. It didn't worry me. I didn't pace the floor waiting on it passed. And you know why? Here is exactly why I wasn't concerned about the storm. The Lord Jesus said this. Here's what he said to Nathan. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Peace ruled the heart because God ruled the storm. If God rules the storm, then he rules the peace in our heart. And it's not based upon just our feelings. It's not just feelings. It's not that I just feel good in all my circumstances as well. The world is in a storm, isn't it? When the Lord Jesus told his disciples, when he said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, let not your hearts be troubled," he told them that right in the face of their sorrow. And right in the face of their coming trouble. He just told them, "I'm going away. My peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled." And he closed that out in the 16th chapter by saying this: "In me you shall have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." So this peace that rules your heart is not based upon what the world is doing. It's not based upon which political party's in the White House. It's not based upon your circumstances in your family or anything like that. It's a peace of God. It's the peace of God. It was the peace that was established for us through the cross of Jesus Christ, reconciling us to God. And it's a peace that's established by the Word. By the Word. He rules in the storm, doesn't he? He rules everything. And that's the ground upon which we have peace. The world wants peace, but it's not based upon Scripture, is it? It's not based upon Scripture. It's not based upon the Word of truth. Now, in our text it says this: "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." What is the word of Christ? I think if we're told to let it dwell in us, then we need to know or be reminded, what is the word of Christ? Well, first of all, it's the words that the Lord Jesus Christ spake while he was here in his flesh. Son of God went about speaking, went about preaching. God has spoken to us by his Son. The Apostle Paul said, "Remember the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it's more blessed to give than receive." How often do you and I read in the Scripture that after the Lord Jesus had raised from the dead, it was said of those apostles, they remembered the word that he spake to them. The word of Christ. I often love, Joe and I read in the book of Matthew now, I love to read the four Gospels. And one of the reasons I love to read them, because these are the words of the incarnate Son of God. It's the words that he spake with his own lips. And there's just something about that. That he came here and he was a teacher and a preacher. That he spoke. And Paul said we have the word of Christ. Let this word of Christ dwell in you. The angels told the apostles when they come to the grave and he wasn't there, they said, "He's risen. Don't you remember the words that he said to you?" So it's his word. He spoke when he was here. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's all the New Testament epistles. That's the words of Christ. I want you to take your Bibles and turn here in over to your left, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37. And this is what the Apostle Paul said of his writings when he wrote to all the churches. But this could be said to all the writers of the New Testament. All the apostles and all the writers in the New Testament. in verse 37, in the 14th chapter, in verse 37 of 1 Corinthians, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of our Lord. The commandments of our Lord. This is said of all the New Testament writers. Everything they wrote unto us was the commandment of Jesus Christ. It was Christ speaking through these apostles. Some in the Corinthian church wanted a proof that Christ was speaking in Paul. They said, we want to prove that Christ is speaking in you. We know that he's speaking through Peter and John and James and the other. We want a sign that he's speaking through you. He said, you're the sign. He said, when I was speaking, remember how my words came to your heart with power and in the Holy Ghost and converted you? He said, it's Christ speaking in me. That's what he says about his writing. And when you and I go to the New Testament and we read from the book of Acts through the book of Revelations, that's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the opinion of the apostle. That's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard a Jew, he was a rabbi the other day, preaching, and he said that he loved the words of Christ. He loved to go to the four gospels. He said, I love the words of Christ. But he said, the man who called himself the Apostle Paul is a renegade. Then he preached completely different. He said, Christ preached the law, and he preached you had to keep the law, you must keep the law to be justified. And here comes this renegade and talked about being saved by grace. But listen, what Paul said, what Christ said through him. Same thing. Let the word of Christ, the words that he spake when he was here on this earth, that's the words of Christ. And after he went back to heaven, he sent out these apostles and he moved upon their hearts to preach and to write. And it's Christ speaking. It's Christ speaking. But when we talk about the word of Christ, it's more than that, isn't it? It's more than what he spoke when he was here. It's more than all the New Testament writings. It's the Old Testament. That's the words of Christ. I want you to look in another place. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and look in verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. We talk about the Old Testament and how that Christ is the subject of it. It's all about him, from Genesis through Malachi. But it's not only about him, he's the author of it. He spoke it. And that's what Peter tells us here in chapter 1 of 1 Peter and verse 9. He said, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of which salvation the prophets of the Old Testament, have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The Spirit of Christ, Christ, was in these prophets of old. And when they preached and when they wrote, it was Christ speaking. Was Christ speaking? Let there be light. You remember reading that Hebrews in Genesis 1? Let there be light. Who said that? Christ said that. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who said that? Christ said that. And no matter if it's David or if it's Solomon or Jeremiah, when they wrote, it's Christ speaking through them. It's the words of Christ. How often do we read in the Scriptures, the Word of the Lord came. It came to Moses, it came to David, it came to Isaiah, it came to the prophets, it came. Where did it come from? It came from Christ, the Son of God. It's His Word. So when we talk about the words of Christ, what are we talking about? We're talking about the entire Bible. I think Ben Janet was talking the other day about the red letter edition. I think she said something about, she had a red letter edition. But she said, to be honest, if they're going to make the red letter edition the words of Christ, our whole Bible will be red. And that's a true thing, because it's all the Word of Christ. The whole Bible is the Word of Christ. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Let it dwell in you. Let it dwell in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Those two apostles, when the Lord Jesus preached to them his word, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? Well, he preached to us the scripture. Oh, get it in your heart, brothers and sisters. Don't just let it dwell in the our forefathers used to call it the ascent of the mind. The Lord Jesus told his disciples, let it sink deep into your ears. Let it get down in your heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in your heart. Let it dwell in your memory. Get it in your memory. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. My soul is continually in danger, yet I do not forget thy law. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget thy precepts. Fill your memory with it. Fill your memory. Let it dwell in your affections. In your affection. In your heart, your memory, and your affection. Oh, how I love thy law, David said. It is my meditation all the day long. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Yea, I love thy testimony. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Just go in the book of Psalms and look at the times that David said, I love your word. I love your testimony. I love your commandments. I love your gospel. You know why Paul said men weren't saved? They received not the love of the truth. They received it not into their hearts. They received it not into their affections. They cannot and will not retain it in their memory. They hear it, they read it, and they go off and read it. And he said that's why they're not saved. They don't love the truth. He said here, let it dwell. You notice that? Let it dwell. Get it in your heart and let it dwell. In other words, it's not a stranger that comes to your house and leaves. It's not even a friend that comes to visit and stay a while. He comes to dwell. He comes to dwell. He comes to stay. He comes to live. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. How do we get it in us then? We found out what the word of Christ is. We're told here to let it dwell in us. How does it get in us? That's a good question, isn't it? It doesn't get in us, as far as I can tell, by the process of osmosis. Some kind of osmosis. I read about this person that every night, this is back when we had the little cassette recordings, and every night they put the Bible on by a pillow next to their head, and they'd push it on and would start playing the Bible. And they'd go sleep. And they thought that some way or another, by that being on and playing the scriptures, that it was so get into their minds. I'm not saying that a man, there may not be some miraculous way that the Holy Spirit could implant the word in the person's heart, having never heard it or read it. I just don't know. I've never heard such a thing. How does it get in our hearts? Well, the first way is by hearing it. Just by hearing it. There's a reason that you and I, every Sunday, we have the scriptures read in the worship team. Because that's the way we get it in our hearts. By hearing. I know a young lady, well, she's not young anymore, she's somewhat older. But every day, she went to the nursing home to read the Bible to this lady that was dying. When I used to go to the nursing home, she was there. Her husband had died, and every day she went and read a chapter to this lady that was dying. The lady finally died. Shelby Portman used to go to this lady that was dying, a sick friend of hers, and she'd go read him in the Word of God. What a ministry that is. What a good ministry. I have a pastor friend of mine that went to the hospital and he was in the room for this man who was very, very sick, never left the hospital, as a matter of fact. And he told me about this lady. He said, I asked him if I could read, and he said, I read the fourth chapter of John to that man, not the Samaritan. And there were some other people in the room, and he said, the man said, would you guys go out? So would everybody go out? And they went outside, and this man was so broken over that scripture and so encouraged and hopeful that if the Lord saved that woman, he would save him, and the Lord saved that man. And the preacher later told me, he said, I said nothing about the scripture. He said, I made no comment on the scripture. I just read the message that God preached to that lady. And the Lord saved that man. How do we get the word in our heart? Hearing's a good way, isn't it? I remember Gil, he said, I don't worry, he died in church. Somebody remember Gil was in prayer. And I went up to his house one time, and I was reading the fourth chapter of John. And when I finished, Gil said, that's what I need, living water. I need that living water. I don't know if the Lord ever gave it to him or not. But that's all I did, just read. It gets in our hearts by being read, hearing it read. Hearing it preached. Now often we read in the Bible, when they heard this, they either were pricked in their heart, or they were mad, or they were made glad. But I tell you, preaching the word gets in the hearts of men. In the hearts of men. And read it. I encourage the lost man to read the Bible. I had a man that I've listened to for so long and loved him. And he said he would never encourage a lost person to read the Bible because he can't understand it. Well, the Lord is able to open the heart, isn't it? For us to understand His Word when we read it. Till I come, give attendance to what? Reading. Well, that's not only for the preacher, that's for everybody. Reading the Word. Those Bereans that Paul was preaching to in the 17th chapter of Acts, the Bible says that they received the Word with all readiness of mind. And then they went home and search the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Reading it for yourself. That's good, isn't it? Reading it. Man got up to preach a message one time, and he said, I've got 3 points concerning the Bible. Read it. My second point is read it. And my third point is read it. Read it. Why? That's what gets into your heart. Gets into your heart, though. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly, abundantly, in all wisdom. You know the words of Christ will make you wise. I got 3 little points in closing about this, and I want you to turn to 3, at least 2 scriptures. 2 Timothy. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 16. Chapter 3 and verse 16. Well, this tells us a lot here in this passage. What the apostle was writing to this preacher. And he said here in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, breathed of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the word of God we're reading about. Profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for correction, for instruction, that we may be perfect. And look what he said in verse 14 to this young preacher. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Now, what did he learn? He learned the scriptures, didn't he? Where else would you got anything? Where else would you learn anything from the scripture? And hast been assured of. He lived in the assurance of these scriptures. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He learned them. He was assured of the truth. But here's what I wanted you to notice, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. From a child, he knew the Scriptures. What does that tell us? A child can understand the Scriptures if his heart is open. One of the complaints that we have in our thoughts sometimes is this. Here's what we get in our head. We think, well, if I can't understand the whole Bible, I can't understand any of it. We think we have to get a grip on everything. It's not that way. The Word of Christ comes little by little by little. And it makes you wise into salvation. How many believers I've talked to, they say, I just can't understand the Scripture. Come on now. You're saved, you're born to the Word, and you read the Gospel, and you can't understand the Gospel, come on, that can't be true. That cannot be true. The Lord saves us by His Word. He saves us by opening our understanding to the Word. We do understand the Gospel. That's it. Do we not? Charles Spurgeon said he had young children, 6 and 7 and 8 years old, in his congregation, that the Lord had opened their hearts to understand His Word, and he said they were as clear as a theologian on the holiness of God, on the necessity of the atonement, and on the fruits of conversion. He said, you talk to these kids, and they were reading the Bible and understood it. Well, here's proof that that can happen. From a child, you have known the Holy Scripture. Sometimes you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I recommend that book to you. During the time of Inquisition and other times when Roman Catholicism was persecuting the believers, they had these examiners that they would bring the believers up and examine them, ask them questions, try to get them to recant. And they had young children, 8 and 10 and 12 years old, that they asked questions to, and those children would answer their question on justification by faith. And it confounded those Roman Catholic people who would touch them. It'll make you wise into salvation. There's so much in this Bible that I don't understand. People ask me and I say, I don't know. I'll be honest with you, I don't know. But one thing I do know, and one thing you better know, is the doctrine of salvation that's taught in this book. We don't want to miss that, do we? That God is holy, you and I are sinners, and the only way we can approach into God to be saved and accepted and justified is through the cross of Jesus Christ. The only way peace can come to our heart is through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We better understand that. Things that pertain to salvation. I don't care if you're premillennial or postmillennial, amillennial, whatever you are, but you better understand the way of salvation. This young child, it makes you wise unto salvation. And that's what we're concerned about. That's what we're concerned about. let it dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Secondly, not only does it make us wise in salvation, it makes us wise in our daily lives. We know how to live. Know how to live pleasing unto the Lord. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not, Solomon said. Where do we get instruction? We just read it. The Word of God is profitable for instruction. Give instructions to a wise man and he will be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Paul said, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in so doing you shall both save yourself and them that hear you. What does he mean, save yourself? They were already regenerated. Save yourself from a lot of trouble. Save yourself from a lot of stumbling, a lot of falling, a lot of embarrassment. How do we get wise and how do we know how to walk and live in this world and glorify the Lord and help one another? Word of Christ dwelling in us. Cora and I were texting this morning. I was telling her, I think I told you about Henry's message. Brother Henry Mahan stood in this pulpit one time and preached the message. Words to live by. And man, I still remember that. One of the best messages. Out of Psalms 37. Go home and read that. The first 11 or 12 verses. Psalms chapter 37. Talking about fret not yourself. Don't fret. Commit your ways to the Lord. Rest in the Lord. What a message. And I remember what he said in that message. He said, you and I don't need encouraging words to die. Because we're not dying. But we need encouraging words to live by, don't we? What we do, we need to know how to live. And live in a wise manner. And the words of Christ dwells in us in all wisdom. And lastly, the words of Christ gives us wisdom to die by. I don't want to face death. That king of terror the Bible talks about. I don't want to face death shaking in my mind. You. I don't want to face death not knowing who I believe, what I believe, where I'm going. I want to face death I want to face it. I want to face it in wisdom. The Bible talks about that. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. Thy word, thy word. This is my comfort when I come down to die. Thy word. Well, there's comfort in the Word. Christ to live by and Christ to die by. Listen to this. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's a good way to die, isn't it? That's a good hope to die. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's a good hope, isn't it? That's a good hope. When I come down to die, like the Apostle Paul did, I want to say the same thing he said. I know whom I have believed. And he'll do the die. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead shall be raised. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What's the very next word? Therefore, conquer one another. Comfort one another with these words. I tell you, dying is an awful thing, isn't it? Unless you're dying in a good hope. And we're dying in a hope that he's given us through his grace, and a hope that has for its foundation the words of Jesus Christ. That's a good way to die. That's a good way to die. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and all wisdom. The same 268. How firm the foundation is, thanks to the Lord. His way for your faith and his taken for you. 268. Now, firm the foundation, the saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who put the correctness to Jesus? Oh Lord, surely all over this world you're adding to your body daily. Not a day goes by but you don't reward your Son, bless his Father, for disobedience. And we pray that you would be pleased here to add to your body in this place. Oh, we praise you for all things in his name, who is worthy. Amen. We will have a